You're listening to the Naked Genetics podcast with me, Dr. Kat Arney. Still to come, we'll be finding out what to do with the ends of DNA. But now it's time to take another look at the genetics of heart disease. Premiership footballer Fabrice Muamba hit the headlines in 2012 when his heart stopped on the pitch for more than an hour. Incidents like this are usually due to inherited gene faults, which aren't often known about until disaster strikes. Professor Hugh Watkins at the Wellcome Trust Centre for Human Genetics in Oxford is trying to track them down.
So I look at conditions that cause young people, mostly kids, teenagers, young adults, to be at risk of catastrophic changes in the function of the heart that just cause you to drop down dead. And so they're uncommon, but not unheard of. You'll have seen them in the public eye. So when this happens in the public forum, often in sports, it's a young sports player, it's usually one of these familial conditions that causes it.
And so by understanding these genes, this is directly changing the way that you work with families to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I go off to clinic, I will use DNA testing on a routine daily basis, and it completely transforms the way we do the work. So that's very exciting. Some of these conditions are not very easy to diagnose by clinical tests. And so when you think someone's got one, or you find they've definitely got one, or as sometimes happens quite commonly as a tragedy, you only work out after they've died what they had. The question then comes, well, who else is at risk in the family? And because it's one gene that comes down from either your mum or your dad, by and large, each immediate family relative has a 50-50 chance of that condition. And so what we now know is that for most of these conditions, and there are many different ones with long names, there's usually a bunch of genes that can do it, and in each gene there will just be one gene change. So if we have a person who's definitely got the condition, we will do a fairly large genetic analysis for all the genes, looking for that single spelling mistake. And then if we can find it and be confident we have found it, which isn't always easy, that's a really powerful tool for then saying who in the family might be at risk and who isn't. And the beauty of it is that if you don't have that gene change, then you won't have the condition and you don't need to be followed up, and nor do your kids. So it's a very powerful way when there's been one of these alerting cases, and sometimes a tragedy case, to then work out who else we need to worry about. And we've got quite good cardiology treatments for people if we can diagnose them with these conditions.
Because it's all very well to find genes and say, oh, you're at risk, but if there's nothing you can do to intervene, that's not helpful.
Yeah.
So this is great, there's something you can do.
It is. I mean, if you had nothing to offer, you probably wouldn't want to do this work at all. You know, you wouldn't want to tell somebody that they're at risk if you couldn't improve it. If we find an individual who's clearly at high risk, we can implant a device, it's a glorified pacemaker, that sits there and monitors the heart. And if the patient has one of these sudden, chaotic, life-threatening heart rhythms, the machine will charge up and give an electric shock, just like you see in the paddles in television dramas in Casualty. And that's life-saving. But these are complex, scary, sometimes dangerous devices that you don't want to use if you don't need to. So another part of that program of work has asked the question, now we know what the genes are, and we can define what proteins that the genes code for, you'd think that would give us a clue as to what the disease pathway is. And that's a big thrust of our work and has gone quite a long way. And we now have some quite tangible and testable ideas and are beginning to do clinical trials of new treatments that are looking very promising.
So that's one aspect of your work, but another aspect is looking more broadly at heart disease and associated conditions to find the complex susceptibility genes. Where's that got to now?
So that's a better story now than it was a few years ago. We started this work, as did many groups in universities around the world, probably 10, 12, maybe even 15 years ago, and it's proved to be much harder than we thought. And the reason, as you will know, is that there's not one gene for heart attack or one gene for diabetes. There aren't 5, 10 or 20. There are hundreds and potentially thousands of genes or changes in genes that make people just very slightly more or less at risk. And so it's only recently that we've had powerful enough genetic tools and big enough clinical studies that we can begin to find genes. And actually are now doing analyses on tens of thousands of patients. And when you do that, then you do find these genes. And our list at the moment in terms of what we published is around 46 newly identified genes, which make you a bit more likely to have a heart attack. And it's exciting because they're not, by and large, the obvious genes we would have guessed. So some of them are. Some of them are genes that regulate how you handle cholesterol in the body. And it's reassuring that, you know, we get those positive controls. Some of them, we thought we knew what the gene did or the protein that it codes for did, but wouldn't have guessed it was involved in coronary disease and heart attacks. So that's quite surprising. And a fair number of them, we have no idea what they do. And so that's good and bad. The good news is that there's a lot of opportunity for new biology. And if we can understand new pathways that cause you to have a heart attack, there's lots of scope there for new drugs and medicines to stop it.
I mean, there's this sort of idea that you'll be able to have a genome scan and we'll know your risk and you do this and take this drug and do that and yeah. You'll never get heart disease.
Yeah, it's quite a nice dream. It's a bit of a pipe dream. If you unpack all the sort of two or three components of that aspiration, one was that you could do the genome scan and predict an individual's risk. That's not looking very effective at the moment. So most of us are fairly average in our genetic risk. So if you take someone in a clinic and look at their hundreds of genes that contribute their risk, they're not very likely to be very high or very low. If you did a whole population, you'd find people that were high and low, and that might work, but for the individual, it doesn't work so well. And then the other thing is we've already got pretty good tools. They're not perfect, but very powerful effects. Age, gender, smoking, cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes are really quite strong predictors of heart risk. It's quite a high ask for genetics to make that better. So at the moment, I don't think we look at this complex genetics as a tool for prediction, but rather it's a tool for maybe classifying people into broad groups, but particularly for trying to come up with new targets and new treatments. And I'm very optimistic it will work, but actually that it will take time.
That was Professor Hugh Watkins from the Wellcome Trust Centre for Human Genetics.